thing for us, but as soon as we started to get into the hardware thing, it unlocked a lot of different things. Like it's like tangible object that exists in space, which I think is a really important thing for me to like actually want to engage with something. But two, like a lot of this stuff is they're actually like hardware, like the plugins are like hardware recreations of classic pieces of gear, like instruments, and having that access and that experience is just makes like they want certain kinds of sounds to be made out of them, kind of thing. Like there's a bit of like, yeah, what does this thing want to do? So that's like, and then also that entry point into history, like this one here is like an emulation of a baseline synth, a TB-303, and the history of that in dance music is just like an amazing cultural, nice. Like to learn about that and to learn about the music that came from that is just really inspiring. Which
it definitely influences what sounds we make and what music we make, and kind of to add to that, like I think we write differently because of having the hardware and because of the characteristics that each piece has, and kind of like so many happy accidents happen where you just kind of fall upon something that, you know, you turn a knob this way and you're like, well, I wasn't going for that sound, but I really like this. And then it ends up being like such an integral part of, you know, the next piece that we write or something. So, it really does, make the writing process so different.
Yeah. It's a different relationship from like, we both play instruments and sing in other bands and playing like, you know, more traditional instruments. It's you have to decide to make a sound very intentionally. Like the experience is a very, you know, you could kind of break out of that, but it's very like you're hitting the drum at that specific time, and you know what it's going to sound like mostly. And so where electronic stuff, it's like things just kind of happen that are outside of you, and so it becomes this relationship with the gear that's different than you probably have. A similar thing with pedals, like putting your instrument through pedals, like there's inherent like unpredictability about it, and it's doing something that then inspires you to do something else, so you actually build like a more of a actual like interactive relationship with the instruments, I find. Then
and it leads more to chaos.
Yes, yeah.
Which we like.
Yes.
Playing live too, like we do a lot of improvised stuff, and it's always like surprising to us where things go. And
yeah, I was going to say that because on the bio there that you have lots of chances for improvisation, which that's a lot of part of my music, and I think that's great that you're including that in like your dance music, that there's space for that too.
Yeah, it's definitely like kind of ironic because, you know, yeah, we play in other bands that are, you know, we play in a band called Star Brides in Guelph that's like a psychedelic prog rock band, but we like rehearse so much and everything is like, you know, we want to make sure everything's pretty perfect. And you don't really think of like sequenced electronic music as being improvisational, but it's the way things are with the setup, it there's so much opportunity for things to go so many different directions, and you don't feel like the ground's gonna fall out in the same way, you know. Like if your band's improvising and you're not good at it could be really bad, but for us at least, I know like there's probably gonna be a kick drum that's gonna be going good do do do, so like
at least we got that.
Yeah, the ground floor is nice.
It's so cushioned.
Yeah, so okay. You feel free to, like, you know,
explore,
experiment with the sounds and explore, and then never remember what you did next time you try to do it. So
yeah, there's a beauty to that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Why don't I let you play your next music soul set?
Awesome. Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. So here is Moonbeam here on the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope here on CFRU 93.3 FM. Ooh, fantastic. Yeah.
Thank you. That's a new one, actually. We just released it last month, and it's called S Club 7.
Oh, nice. Is it related to the actual group?
Not at all.
because that's what I thought immediately when I saw the title.
So it was a bit of a joke. So, I mean, this song is pretty cliche. I mean, it's leaning into some pretty hard cliches. Just, I mean, having the chorus be me saying sex in a demon voice is kind of a joke. But, like, yeah, we're like, well, calling it sex is just, like, too on the nose. So, we were joking around, tossing around the idea with S Club 7.
I just remember being a kid in S Club 7 coming out and being like super young and being like, that means sex club.
Oh.
Like, it just seemed, I don't know, like an obvious, like they were trying to hide the fact that
it's a sex club.
Yeah, that it's a sex club.
The first rule about sex club.
don't eat the chicken. Don't eat the buffet chicken.
Oh.
Anyway. Yeah, it's kind of a joke when we've like played the song and then announced the name, like it seems like half the audience usually gets it. We're like, that's S Club 7, and then people like burst out laughing, and then some people are just like, what? So yeah, it's kind of fun to mess around with.
Yeah. Well, I think it's awesome now. even more awesome than what it was before.
Yeah, the whole song, it's funny, it started as kind of a joke. Like we were laughing about it when it happened, and then it became, yeah. Then it got serious.
Yeah. It was honestly like, again, this kind of using this gear to create, we just like, Colin came up with this bass line. We're like, okay, we want this kind of beat. So we just had this thing kind of going for a few minutes, and then I just like pulled out my phone, and you know, I always like type out lyrics or just lyric ideas in my notes. And so I just grabbed the mic and just started singing it exactly like how it sounds now. And it was, again, we were like, this is a joke, but then we turned it into a song, and then now we actually really like it. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah. I like it. I like it a lot.
Thanks.
So good. You released it. I want to get into some of the lyrics and themes, actually, that you bring about in this project. I'm reading a bit from your online bio here. Speaking to identity, expression, sexual orientation, inclusivity, consent, and community, their lyrics weave mantras to empower their audience. So for me, that I think I've already said this kind of, that I really connect with these elements, especially being a cis male, gay, queerdo, owl boy with a learning disability. So, I can find that in myself, in my music as well, even though it's an instrumental music. Why are these themes important to you in the music you make?
I think it's, I feel like this, the base level of a spirit of self acceptance and exploration and being who you are, and not just being who you are, but be actively like examining and like, you know, trying to seek out what the best version of you is, I think is a very important concept for our lives. And like, I think is a, you know, for me is a constant process. And I think that with music, like dance music has, you know, the roots of dance music are in Black queer American culture, and it has that spirit in it from the start, and like those communities birthed this sound. And I think it's, you know, still like the, you know, the popularity of DJ culture is kind of maybe distracted from those things a bit, but like it's still, I think if you go to a lot of, at least in Canada, you go to a lot of like dance music festivals, they're like extremely, at least it seems from my perspective, like extremely expressive, safe spaces, and a lot of the organizations that put on those those things, they put a lot of effort into keeping things that way, and it's a beautiful community to be a part of, and I think a lot of other areas of music, live events can really take a lot of notes from how a lot of the rave communities are dealing, are like promoting, moving forward with things.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I think, kind of at the beginning of this project, thinking about pairing dance music with a message. And I think that, as Colin said, like a lot of, dance music that came out of the queer and Black communities, often did have a message. And I think there's something really potent to having music that your body responds to, but is also telling or like sharing words that have impact and meaning. And so it's like you're kind of absorbing the message in two realms, the physical realm and the mental realm. And so pairing such important concepts to us with dance music just feels like a potent cocktail for good times and self-introspection.
Oh, I love that. I love that a lot.
Thanks.
Who, who has been coming out mostly to your shows, and like, what's the audience that you find you're playing to?
It's been a real mix. I think the interesting thing about being a live electronic act is that we are finding ourselves in kind of two different spaces, and the live band spaces, like playing at venues with the whole band being bills, being on the bill, and then other spaces where it's like a DJ event, DJ dance music event, and we're kind of like the live act coming into that space. And so, yeah, we've like really had the honor of like connecting with a very wide demographic in terms of age, identity, you know, sexuality. And we just came back from a Cross Canada tour. We're still like technically on the tour, but we're now back in our home province. And we had the pleasure and honor of performing at five different like Pride events through throughout BC and Alberta and Ontario, and those spaces are so diverse, you know, like we've connected with like a 70-year-old dude who's come up and been like, I don't usually listen to your type of music, but like, boy, did you guys make me dance. And like, I haven't danced like that in years.
It's funny, we get that a lot, and I attribute it to more like a lot of people like myself growing up in, you know, the suburbs of Canada. It's like the dance music that you're exposed to was filtered through so much money and industry and whitewashing, and by the time it got to my ears, it wasn't anything that appealed to me or a lot of other people that I was surrounded by. And but now I know that there was so much going on that you know, we didn't have the opportunity, you know, going out to, you know, the Vinyl and Guelph or some top 40 bar, you're not going to hear like good dance music. I'm sorry to say that.
Donna Summer.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, but like, you know, now there's so much new stuff happening that's really good, but I think there's this whole, again, this history. So like, I think when we play shows to a lot of times in spaces where it's usually like rock bands and stuff, people are just kind of like, oh, I didn't even know I liked that music. And I think that has more to do with the fact that there's a lot of like very underexposed population here to dance music in general. And same with like disco. It's like, you know, I grew up in a world with people saying, oh, disco sucks. And you know what that really meant was, you know, there's definitely like racist and misogynistic and homophobic roots to that, but it's also that they're pretty much, when they think disco, they think ABBA and Bee Gees and Rod Stewart doing disco, or Rolling Stones doing disco. And so it's like people being like, oh, I don't like disco. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, the worst of it. Sorry to say, in my opinion, that like by the time it got to those bands, it had been filtered again through money and whitewashed and but if you listen to the roots of that sound, it's a totally different thing, and I think way more people would be into it.
I agree. I want to talk before I let you end off the show, especially about like pride and queer representation. Mm-hmm. I am so glad to have you guys here in this audience, being that it is Pride Month, a month to really highlight us as queer people everywhere, to uplift, fight, and celebrate our visual uniqueness and rights together, all to exist in this still oppressive world. So to start, what does pride mean to both of you?
I think to me, it's about visibility. It's about having community and safe spaces, kind of like what we were talking about before. Having your voice heard at the table, bringing in queer voices, bringing in Black, Indigenous, people of color, to have them, their voices be amplified. Having our queer allies who hold places of power, whether it's within the political realm or what have you, have people speak out and amplify those voices. Community, love, respect. It's moving towards less resistance, less hate. It's a fight against hate.
Yeah, I think that to add to all those things, the resistance against bigotry and fascism and hate, and it is becoming increasingly more important. And you know, I think the more allyship and the more everybody gets behind values of openness and inclusion and pluralistic society, I think it's, you know, people have to fight continually to not just maintain what we have, but move forward. And I think that, you know, it's about more than everything that it is. It's sometimes it feels like this struggle against history almost to actually move forward, like finally move forward as a world, I guess, of just being more loving and open. And,
like the human species to move forward.
The rise of conservative fascism, it seems like history trying to reclaim the future, you know, and fight against the future. And I feel like that's a futile fight, and they're clearly going to lose. So, when it comes to love and acceptance, and
I wanted to ask about, like, I guess you've connected with lots of queer people on your tour, actually. So, how have their reaction been to your music, and how have they been uplifted by it?
I think there's a lot of, especially I find when I'm performing in queer spaces or spaces that hold a lot of queer people, there's a lot of this like kind of connection, this feeling of like, we're cut from the same cosmic cloth, so to speak. And this kind of like joy that I know, like I definitely feel. And I think, you know, after a show, connecting with those people and getting to share stories and to even just, you know, get each other's name and contact and a big bear hug and just be like, oh my gosh, like that felt so good. And that's like often a shared sentiment in those spaces. And that's definitely what we're aiming for. Like, I think for us, the most important thing is for people to feel comfortable to express themselves in a safe way within the space, and to like get a little wild on the dance floor and feel welcomed and So we're kind of like doing that up here and with our wild costumes and our weird dance moves and our crazy wop wop sounds and hoping that it inspires people to like feel comfortable and safe to do that too. And, oftentimes I feel like it works. So
yeah, this is very lovely. Like I've been actually, trying to get more into dancing lately because I've been a little restrained on that, but I think it's helping with confidence that I can just, I know I'm not the best dancer, but I'll do whatever I want. I'll just do my own style of dance.
Totally.
Yeah, it's, I was a late comer to it and still like constantly have to work on me. Like, hey, just let go, man. Just do
like
it. Yeah.
Let loose.
Yeah. Yeah. There's
put your arms up here. Yeah. That's a hard one.
It's the right context, the right people, the right music, the right place. Like, you know, you could do it anywhere, but you know, for me, it definitely helped have like the stars align with the right, all those elements. And
yeah, it helps. I think for me, at least, being in a safe queer space that I can let loose, that helps a lot.
Definitely. Absolutely, yeah.
Sorry, I need to let us get on with our outro to let you guys do your last music set. So you've mentioned you're on a. It's you're called the Only Vans Tour, and it seems like it's been very successful from what I've heard from you guys. Can you tell us, you have two large like festivals coming up, like the Toronto Pride and Hillside. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So we're playing Toronto Pride on Saturday, June 28th, I believe is the Saturday. I could be wrong. It might be the 29th, but it's the Saturday.
29th, the 29th.
Saturday at the Sober Oasis. I think it's maybe around 8:30. And yeah, we're super excited to be able to share music and be included in the festivities because Pride has been such an integral part of my life in Toronto and in general. Mm-hmm. And then we're playing Hillside, which is like just so exciting to me because as mentioned earlier, we met at Hillside and Hillside has been such an extremely formative festival mm-hmm. and community for us. So much learning and growing always happens mm-hmm. there. And so to be able to come and take some of what we've learned and grown with and from and bring it back to Hillside and give it back is just like, oh, such a gift. And then also we are able to officially announce now that we've also been accepted to play Rainbow Trout Music Festival in Manitoba in August. So yeah, we're super excited about that.
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know for me, I'm going to certainly try and get to the Toronto Pride performance.
Sweet.
And I'll see about Hillside, but definitely Toronto, I know. I'm going to be at the Pride there.
Awesome.
Let me ask my final question for you guys. What are your words of wisdom that you can bestow upon us?
Put it to me. Well, escape the limitations imposed on you by society and your personal past and, you know, the universe is infinite and there's so many different ways to be a being in this universe. And I think humanity has a lot of potential and all it takes is for individuals to feel comfortable and free and to be inspired to explore.
Yes. See, I knew you'd have some good wise words.
Yes. Awesome. See,
thank you so much for having us. This has been such an honor.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here. I'll let you finish off our observational session here on the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope. This is Moonbeam.